This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Yesterday, Secretary of the Navy Ray Mabus and Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack kicked off the Great Green Fleet with the development of the USS John C. Stennis Carrier Strike Group during a ceremony at Naval Air Station North Island. The Great Green Fleet is a Department of the Navy initiative highlighting how the Navy and Marine Corps are using energy efficiency and alternative energy to increase combat capability and operational flexibility. At the close of the ceremony, the Arleigh Burke class-guided missile destroyer USS Stockdale left the pier to begin its deployment, becoming the first U.S. Navy ship running on an alternative fuel blend as part of its regular operations. The blend fueling the John C. Stennis Carrier Strike Group surface ships contains alternative fuel made from waste beef fat provided by farmers in the Midwest. It was purchased at a cost-competitive price through a partnership between the Department of the Navy and the U.S. Department of Agriculture aimed at making alternative fuel blends a regular part of the military's bulk operational fuel supply. Sailing the Great Green Fleet in 2016 was one of the five energy goals Secretary Mabus set in 2009 for the Navy and Marine Corps. It was named to honor President Theodore Roosevelt's Great White Fleet, which helped usher in America as a global power on the world stage at the beginning of the 20th century. The Great Green Fleet will usher in the next era of Navy and Marine Corps energy innovation. Farmers National Company predicts a softer agricultural land market will continue in 2016, with values for high-quality land holding steadier while lower-quality land values decline. Still, despite lower land values scattered across many regions, land values in general will remain historically high when compared to long-term trends, according to the nation's leading farm and ranch real estate company. A company official says lower grain and livestock prices are an important factor in the current measured decline in land values, adding that they expect to see the trend continue as net farm income continues to fall. Farmers National Company statistics indicate positive long-term economic trends, even with the current softening of ag land values. The current land value trend may encourage new buyers to enter the market or existing investors to expand portfolios. The Montgomery County Farm Bureau is hosting a pesticide review session on Friday afternoon. The session is scheduled from 1 p.m. to 2:30 and is taking place at the Montgomery County Farm Bureau office in Hillsboro. Extension educator of environmental and energy stewardship Gary Letterly will conduct the review, and he has more information about what you can expect to learn if you attend.
What I do, and I actually, I take the exam too. I mean, I take it every 3 years, and so I've got a pretty good sense of how the questions are asked, and what makes sense to me as a teacher and a test taker too, what makes sense to try to review on the parts and sections of the exam. That a lot of it is I would call it pretty common knowledge for producers who have been in the business for a while. Granted, there may be some folks out there that they're just not good test takers, and we have that too. But this will put you in a position, to do well and kind of hone in on areas that you maybe need to study a little more on. And we'll go through the practice section of the training guide, and we'll go through every page of it. And we do it at a pretty fast clip, and then we'll also come around to working on some training materials that I've abbreviated to get through them in a short period of time. That'll also kind of bring into focus what your areas of need are to know to successfully complete the exam. So it's a pretty fast-paced training. This is not to displace by any means some of the more extensive training that's offered around the state at some of the clinics where farmers might come in and take the training in the morning and the exam in the afternoon. We used to do that across the state, but with reduction in staffing in areas of ag and natural resources, we've kind of been relegated to one or two or three or four locations across the state where the extensive training can take place. But I've been in the counties for quite a while now. I know what the stakeholders ask for, and they like the review session. So again, working with the Area Farm Bureau to bring this to the stakeholders, those that are wanting the private applicator license, this is a good training for them.
Gary went on to explain who is required to have a pesticide license, how they are issued, and how often they have to be renewed.
These are authorized through the state of Illinois, through the Illinois Department of Agriculture. They are the licensing entity, and they basically handle the licensing procedure. The offering of the exam, construction of it, and the training materials are largely the responsibility of University of Illinois staff through the College of ACES there in Champaign-Urbana. And, again, field staff, like, such as myself, offer the trainings. The people that need this, again, are those of you that plan to purchase and apply restricted-use products. And how things tend to go, this is not the crystal ball out being revealed, but tends to go is a lot of products, they have to come under a review from time to time, and if there is a reason to suspect they need a closer management detail, then they become a restricted use product. And that along with it comes additional responsibilities for people to really take and having that responsibility, they need to demonstrate through their licensing that they have been trained in safe use and application of these pesticides. So even though what you might be using now may not be a restricted use product, it's very likely in the near future it could be. We've seen that happen with almost, and I say almost, all of the insecticides that are used. And then some of those that may have challenges with the amount of material that's maybe found in water supplies. So anything that's a metabolite of it or a residue of that pesticide that maybe it sticks around a little longer, these tend to be the ones that quickly fall under that category of restricted use. So, again, you may not be using a restricted use product right now, but if you are a farmer and you are applying pesticides to the land, probably be a good idea for at least one member of your operation to hold this license. And it comes around for renewal about every 3 years. And so that's kind of the timing and the sequence of that procedure.
Once again, the pesticide license review session is taking place tomorrow afternoon at 1 p.m. at the Farm Bureau office in Hillsboro. To sign up for the session, call 217-532-6171. That's all for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Bowles.